Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
How are you doing? This is Jimmy Pax, and you're listening to the incomparable Lena Jones on the Lena Jones Morning Sparkle. Shine on, you crazy diamonds.
Good morning. How's everybody doing on this beautiful day? It's September. It's August. What could be better than that? Welcome to the LJ Morning Sparkle. And I'm waking up. I'm just waking up because I'm a late bird. So I have to set the alarm. Hey, you know, before I get started, I want to thank God, and hopefully you thank God, for that bullet that we dodged last week. Hurricane Florence. Most of you probably didn't think any more about it when it passed by. You probably said, well, you can't trust the weatherman. You probably got upset because you went out and bought a whole bunch of stuff that you moved, that you bought gas, you bought extra food, you spent all this money, and you're a little bit upset about that. You got caught in traffic because you tried to get away because the weatherman said it was going to hit us, and it was going to hit us hard. But in the midst of all that, did you stop and think about the blessing that we had? Did you stop and think about the fact that it just right over this state and where we were supposed to get hit with so much, we barely got anything? Did you think that maybe that it was a bunch of people praying for their families that live in other states, praying for their families that live here in Virginia? The people in Virginia was praying themselves. There's some praying people out there. There's a community of prayer out there, and prayer takes care of everything. I know. I'm a personal witness, and I'm pretty sure some of you out there have your own testimonies, too, that can witness that. But we dodged that bullet. Do you see what it did to North Carolina? We would have been in worse. I don't think some people stop and think about the ramifications of that. I know I did. Let's be honest here. When it didn't hit like that, I was just like, here's the weatherman. That's the only job that you can have that you're wrong all the time and not be fired. That's my favorite line to use when the when the weatherman is wrong. That's my favorite line, and say, oh, you know, but I had to stop and think. Wait a minute here now. I shouldn't be complaining. I should be thanking God. I should be down on my knees thanking God and praising God for us dodging that bullet. You should have been up in church Sunday morning shouting because we dodged a bullet, y'all. Y'all don't realize that. Hey, better recognize. If you didn't thank God for Virginia dodging that bullet, now's your time to do it. Just give him a little praise right there in your seat. Yeah. All right, I will go into Nehemiah. I know last week I went off on a tangent and I hardly had anything to say about the Nehemiah, but we're going to go ahead and dive right into Nehemiah today. Now, we know that, just to give a quick recap, very quick, Nehemiah, he is a builder at heart, an architect, an architecture. You know what I'm talking about. He's an architect. In today's society, that's what he would be, to design something, to look at it, and things of that sort. But Nehemiah goes into his architecture with prayer. He goes into it with a stamp of approval. His approval is by God, okay? So his desire is to rebuild Jerusalem's wall. And it's God that gives him the motivation to do so. Now, even though Nehemiah had an escort by the king to support his position, he had the authority to do the work. He had papers signed where he can get the supplies that he needed to do the work. He had to, the first thing he had to do in any situation, even in our situation, is examine the problem. So Nehemiah goes at night to look at the problem. He goes at night because he sometimes when you have to examine things, you don't need other people in your ear. You don't need that. You kind of need to be on your own to so that you can, when you get, especially when you're going to face that person or that people or that community or that politician, whatever it is that you are going to face, you need to know what you're talking about. And you need to be ready for the objectives that will come upon you while you're doing that. So I'm going to start with chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 in Nehemiah. I'm going to go ahead and read that. And it's about Nehemiah viewing the ruined wall. And I rose in the night, and some few men with me, neither I told any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. The horse or the donkey, not sure what it is. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So he's saying he can't. His horse or his donkey could not get past it. I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor the priests, nor the nobles, nor the rulers, nor the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, ye see that we are in, see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that will be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, that's what happened. So he went on and told them after he had did the examination himself. He went on and told them about what he, God's approval, the king's approval, and how he had everything in line to do everything that he needed to do. But before he did anything, he went into prayer. He prayed about everything, and that's the one thing that we know about. When he inspected the wall at night, he got a chance to see the conditions of the wall himself. So now to compare that in our modern day, let's look at there's someone in our community. There's someone in our community that God has given the right to fix up the place where you live. Now, when I talk about the community doesn't have to be a particular place. It can be what is inside of you. Nehemiah is about rebuilding. We could talk about rebuilding, but it doesn't necessarily have to be about that community. It can be rebuilding ourselves, our children, our family, friendships, marriages, rebuilding our health, or whatever in our lives are broken. It's a story about brokenness, and it's a story about strengthening yourselves and arming yourselves, and it's a story about rebuilding. Rebuilding your community. Your community could be right there within your household. If you got a whole bunch of stuff going on in your household, that is your community right now. Right there within your family. If it is about a friendship or relationship, even your marriage, And right now I'm going to go to a song. I'm going to go to Corey. Won't he do it? Corey Hawthorne. I'll be right back with you.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Oh, yes he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out, it's only his grace. Won't he do it? He said he would. So I trust him at all times. I'm about to lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me down.
I know my shoulders did get to shrugging from back and forth. Will he do it? Yes, he will. And I know he will. He has done it for me in so many situations, so many of them. And I'm pretty sure he's done it for a lot of us out there. Just say praise him. We're not perfect people, and we don't have to be. So don't ever think that you being in your sin, God's not going to look at you, because he is. He loves you. He loves us. Remember, he's our Superman. Okay, now, if you want to fix any type of problem, first you have to examine what's broken. You can't just jump into stuff and fix it. You have to examine what's broken. It's like a car. Your car breaks down, you take it to the mechanic. Before the mechanic could fix it, he first has to examine it. He has to examine it and see what's wrong so that he'll know how to fix it and how to approach the situation to even start fixing it, even with a doctor. Before a doctor can get you fixed, first he has to tell you what's wrong. You can't approach City Hall and tell them that, hey, I got something wrong with my community, this, that, and the other, without examining examining exactly what's going on in your community. You have to look at the people around you, your neighbors. You have to look at the way the kids play, how they play, who they're playing with. You can't just approach your leaders clueless. You have to have some type of plan behind it. And in our relationships, we have to examine the problem. If the problem is with our marriage, we have to pay attention long enough to know what the problem is and where to start fixing it. If the problem is within ourselves, if it's drugs or alcohol or even eating disorders, it doesn't necessarily have to be anything derogatory like drugs or alcohol that's wrong with us. We may have eating disorder, we may have insecurities where we're constantly down in ourselves. It could be something as simple as coming up with an exercise plan to fix that problem. If your friendship is broken, you may want to find out where the objections lie there. What is hurting this friendship? If you still want to have that person, you may need to find out what is the problem going on. Is it amongst the friends? Is it when you get around a particular set of friends that one friend says something or you say something and things just don't go wrong? And that can happen in marriages. Sometimes you have men that are macho, and when they get around their friends, they act a particular way towards their woman, and a woman may get in front of with her girlfriends and act a particular way with her boyfriend or her husband, which may cause problems in the relationship, which may cause the relationship to be broken. My point is, whatever problem is, you first have to examine it before you can fix it in any day and age. This is what goes on in our day and age right now. Nehemiah had his own problems during his day. Most importantly, you have to pray about it. You got to pray about it before you begin fixing it, and ask God to give you knowledge to help you. Help put the right words in your mouth to say what you need to say to that person, be it City Hall, be it your husband, be it your friend. You have to pray and ask him to put the words in your mouth to let you know what to say and what to do in order to fix the problem in our lives and in our community. Whatever you do, don't just dive into it without praying first. Nehemiah put for prayer before everything that he did. He prayed about it, and God blessed him. See, God already knows our intentions. He already knows what's in our heart to do, and he can and will bless us to do it. But first, we have to give him the victory over the situation. We have to pray for it, let it go, and then go and do it. Go with your blessings to do it. You have to acknowledge him. You have to be a believer, too. You have to believe that he is a helper. He is who he says he is. He is sovereign. He has power over everything. Don't you? You know what amazes me about a power of a God? If you don't know any examples of a power of a God, power of a God could be the healing in your body with a doctor, and you turn around and there is nothing. Do you understand that? That is such a powerful, powerful thing. I mean, who could move a hurricane? Who could? Did you see the size of Florence? I don't know about you guys, but I'm just awed. I'm just awed at my God and the things that he's able to do through the power of prayer, because Florence was huge. It would have tore us apart, no jokes aside. It would have tore us apart. And did you see on the news where a tornado had hit some part of North Carolina, and it tore apart the building? Now, you have a building standing next to it that got some damage, but it completely flattened another building, took a telephone pole, bent it all the way down, one of those nightlight poles, twisted up cars. That's some powerful stuff. If you want to know about the power of God, we are like this little teeny inkling of dirt under his fingernails. We are just little pebbles of sand. Our buildings, what we have here, the, you know, you may see a high building, a high rise. And say, oh, look at that. It's big. That is nothing compared to our God. Our God could take that thing and twist it up into nothing. That's a powerful God that we serve. This is a man who is that powerful, but yet who is that humble enough to believe, to want us to believe in him so that he can use that power in our lives. That's the type of God that I serve. We have to lay the groundwork. You have to lay the groundwork before you go into anything. And that's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah went and laid his groundwork. Now that he's examined everything, he knows what all the problem is, and God's going to bless him to fix it. He has an escort. He has authority. He has permissions. Everything that he needed. Now he has to convince the Israelites. He has to convince a people to do the work, a people that is broken, a people that there is nothing left of them. You have to keep in mind Israel's, they're embarrassed, their pride is gone, people are mocking them all around, and all of this is happening to the Israelites because of their sin. Now I'm going to go to the chapter. Oh, I already read it. I read it before, which he told them that the hand of God was good upon him. And he had the king's word, and he spoke, and they said to them that let us rise up and build. So they were strengthened their hands for the work of God. Now, in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, it goes on to talk about the builders of the wall, the different types of tribes, the different types of people that came together to help rebuild the wall. Even tribes and people, noblemen who thought it was beneath them, all got together to help build up Jerusalem's wall. So when you get a chance, you can go and read the builders of the wall, because it's going to name a lot of different names. And child, you don't want me to name them. Names, it would be the comedy show, because half them, when I pronounce them here reading on my own, I have to stop and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm just messing up. I done messed up everybody's name, and it is my MO. So when you have a chance, go read chapter 3 about the the builders of the wall. It will list the who helped build the wall. Now, of course, with everything, when you decide to do something positive, there's always some negativity that stands in the way. It not only happens in today's society with you or whatever it is you want to do. It happened in the days of Nehemiah also. He tried to rebuild a broken wall, and he ran into people that didn't want this to happen. They conspired against him. They were angry with him. Two people in particular, which was Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonite. Now, I'm going to read the opposition by anger. Okay, now, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians of the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, heard the wall of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were angry. They were wroth. They conspired, all of them, to come and fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto God and set it a watch against them day and night because of them. That was where it says the opposition of anger. It was chapter 7 through chapter 9. The first one I read, I said 17, but it was actually chapter 4 through chapter 6. I apologize. The writing is so small, but this one went on to chapter 7 through chapter 9. like I said before, when you try to do something positive, there's always someone negative or something negative that's going to stand in your way. In Nehemiah's time, he had Sanballat and Tobiah, an Arabian and an Ammonite that were upset. They were angry. They saw the wall of Jerusalem as tore down, and they wanted to keep it down. They didn't want that to be rebuilt. But see, when you make an enemy of God's people, you make an enemy of God. And if you do that, whoa, how does the Bible say, whoa, look out for that. It's just like in our communities. If you decide that you want to clean up the community, someone decides they want to do something to fix something, you got a whole bunch of people that's going to stand in the way. Because they don't want change. They don't want things to get better. In your community, it could be the drug dealer. He's going to talk about you, you know, oh, you believe in that stuff, all this and that, the other, just because he don't want it to change. He's messing up his business. If he can't sell drugs there inside his community, he ain't making no money. So that's why he don't care. He don't care what it looks like. Only thing he cares about is that he makes money. The gangbangers, they don't want you to get them off the street. They don't want you to clean up the community. I mean, your community is their target. They're for gang new initiation, going around shooting up innocent people for no with no problem. They don't want to change. These are obstacles that we run across in today's society. If you're in a broken marriage, there might be a girlfriend. On the guy's side, a male that's constantly in their ear telling you something about the person. The girlfriend will say, girl, you know he ain't no good. I don't know why you bother with him. I know he your husband, but he ain't no good. On the men's side, they think, man, why you messing around with that bee? Why you messing around with that hoe? I wouldn't listen to her. I wouldn't be giving her my money. You got people like that around you. That's not helping you to fix your broken. We need to be aware of the people that are around us when we're trying to fix our broken. And the friendship, it could be a friendship of one friend is jealous of the other friend. That's whispering in your ear. They're going around talking to you and spreading rumors, spreading lies about what this person said about you, what that person said about you. When it comes to ourselves, our broken self, our insecurities, we sit around and we beat each other up. We could not beat each other. We beat ourselves up. We call ourselves dumb, stupid, ugly. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that behind closed doors when no one is looking. The enemy tries to attack us in every way. Family is nothing worse than a broken family. It's nothing worse than bad influences that are brought in by our kids that we open up our door and let into our lives that tear our family apart. It can be something like your daughter's friend who's just a flirt, who likes coming over there because every time you turn around, she's flirting with your husband, or your son who has a friend that's insisting on bringing drugs to him, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. Or a husband's friend is constantly at your house. He's looking at your daughter with those hungry eyes. You know, sometimes we bring people into our lives, into our family lives, that they are set at doing nothing but tearing down your family. These are things that we need to fix in today's society. There's a fix in every situation. And there was a fix in Nehemiah's time. In Nehemiah's time, he had Tobias and Sanballat. They didn't want that wall to be built. Are you kidding me? Jerusalem, get back strong again. See, everyone knows that if Jerusalem is strong, they know that, hey, they're going to get it. They are going to get it. They are going to get it. So on that note, let's go ahead and go to another song. I was going to go to You Will Win by Jacqueline Carr, but for some reason, it's an 8-minute song. Okay. So don't, I can't do that. So we're not going to go with that. We're going to go with something else about broken people. whether it be your family, your marriage, your friendship, your community, your health, about strengthening and telling yourself to get back up because you have a God on your side. Here is Daniel Goki with Tell Your Heart to Beat Again.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, but this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. Tell your heart to beat again. Word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one, leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to be. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Your heart.
Now, so we have brokenness within our families and within ourselves, and the same thing that went on in Nehemiah. Now, I'm going to read from chapter 4, and see, this is why I put that disclaimer on my on my page and say, I'm not a preacher, neither do I claim to be. I'm just reading the Bible with you guys and doing some comparisons. But when I do this little highlight thing with a pink highlighter. And for those of you that do read Bibles, you know how thin those pages is. So I do apologize because my thin marker threw one page. And So when I first opened up, it was chapter 12 through 17 I was reading. I skipped over. Okay, so let's talk about the opposition and the ridicule that Nehemiah went through during his time. This is starting at chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, did I read that already? Okay, I'm going to read it again. When Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his people and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they build it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burnt? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him, and he said, Even by which they build, if a fox goes up the hill, it shall break down the wall and tear up the stone wall. So they're saying that they're feeble and the wall is feeble. A fox can go by and the whole thing can fall down. Hear us, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build the wall they did, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the mine, for the people had the mine to work. I am reading from my another one of my King James Bibles where it says ye and the. And I don't know about you, but that's where it gets a little bit confusing for me, because it kind of makes the words a little bit different. Some of it is easy and some of it's not. I do have a King James Version that breaks down those words for me. I decided not to open that one today to try to read from this one. And excuse me, I think I'm going to stick with what I'm comfortable with. That's the opposition that they face. But he did not. Once again, Nehemiah goes into prayer. He goes into prayer about the mocking. You know, he doesn't try to mock back at him. He goes to God for guidance in prayer. He prays for justice against his enemies. He asks God to take the vengeance for him. He leaves God to do the work because he sees that there's no repentance, there's no regrets from these people. This is what they're going to do. They're just going to go after us and go after us. They're not going to leave us alone. And so in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people that were building, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives for your houses." So that was chapter 14. He says, don't be afraid. You need to fight. The people in Jerusalem have found themselves fighting. They had to fight and build at the same time. So that's the same thing that we have to do. Remember, I said you can't fix anything without prayer. You have to put prayer first before everything you do. You have to make sure that you prayed up. That's because that's your gear. That is your garment. That is your war gear. You got to put that up. You got to put that up when you start praying against your community, against your marriage, against your friendship. God strengthens the weak. He strengthens those that are shamed and humiliated. You hear me where he told them to pick up their arms and fight, because he knew that they were fighting. with a God on their side. When you get ready to fight the forces that are coming against the attacks on your marriage, your insecurities, your communities, your family, you have to make sure that you are prayed up. You can't go into it without prayer. You can't go into anything without putting that prayer first. And that's what Nehemiah did. We don't have to make fools of ourselves. We don't have to go and act out in public and do all that stuff. You just pick up your armor. Pick up your armor. And God strengthened those weak people. And they had their sisters. They had their brothers. They had the noblemen. Even the noblemen. They set watch to make sure that the people didn't come upon them. Because what happened was there was a plot. There was a plot to against the people of the builders of the wall. They had plotted because, see, they couldn't mess with them. They couldn't do what they wanted to do because it was authorized from the king for them to do this. They had escorts and they had permission to do this job. So, see, Tobiah and Sanballat, that's another thing that they were upset about. They were upset because they couldn't do what they wanted to do to the people. The people had God's protection. They had the protection of the king, and they had the protection of a God. And they had their permission to get up and take arms and fight. So they set watch. The Jews got hold of that plan to come against them, and they set watch. And they, while people were watching, they watched by night, they watched by day, they watched 24/7 for the people. And I'm looking for the song that I'm trying to play here while I'm talking. So they set watch on the people, and that's what they did. They fought with one hand, you know, prayed inside and outside, and they fought. And that's what you have to do with your family. You got to get up there and you have to pray. You got to fight and build at the same time. You're fighting against all of those people that have come against you, your family, your friendship, your marriage. At the same time, you're fighting. You have to build, too. You're building that relationship up and fighting it at the same time. And sometimes that can be pretty bad. Now I'm going to go with the song. I was looking for my song, my war song. I don't know what happened to my war song. I think I was trying to find it before and I couldn't find it. I have to make sure that it was not deleted out of my thing here. So I am going to go to another song as soon as I figure out which one. We're going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and listen to Jacqueline Carr. It's a little bit long, but hey, it's about praying for your family. It's a good one. Check it out.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will I know your door.
that there is something on the inside of you that's going to help you win in this season. And it's called a champion. You want to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them everything attached to you wins? Come on, let's just tell them everything attached to you wins. I just tell them, say, it's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed. You've got God to carry you.
It's your winning seed.
I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your rope, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't birth failures. God don't call you defeated. You are a winner.
Jacqueline Carr with You Will Win. You hear what she says? She says, everything attached to me win. Everything attached to you, you have to pray in your situation. You have to pray for your communities. You have to pray for your family. You have to pray for everything that is attached to you. You have to believe that you are winning and that you have the victory over your situation. Here's Ty Tribute with Victory to help you do it.
Yeah! Let's go!
We all have
over.
That was Ty Trippett and Victory. To do your victory dance to. Okay. To do your victory dance to when you defeat what's going on within your family. I don't know how most of you will take what I say or whether you even understand what I say, but I'm trying to make my interpretation as simple as possible, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need things to be explained a little bit more simpler in my life. That way I can give God more glory and understand what I'm giving him the glory for. Remember, you have to fight for your family. There's always a battle going on in your community. There's always a battle going on within your family, within ourselves, within our relationships, within our marriages. Pick up your shield. Your shield is your prayer. Doesn't have to be a gun or anything. And I know that's hard in today's society because people will take you there and they will make you just want to smack the heck out of them. Yes, they will. And, you know, I myself fall short of anger so many times, and I'm constantly having to pray and ask God for forgiveness for that, because people will try to break you. If you the Jews were broken people, but they're getting ready to get their strength back up, and they're getting ready to finish that wall and see what else God has in store for them so they can get their blessing back. Pray for your family. Go ahead and do the fixing to get your family back. This is Lena Jones. I pray that all of you have a blessed day and a blessed week. I hope my words have encouraged you or strengthened you in some ways. In some ways, like it has me, it's helped me to have a better understanding of the Bible and how to pray and what to do before I go up on any challenges. I'm going to get out of here now with The Broken from Matthew West. It is one of my favorite, another one of my favorite songs. All of the songs are my favorite, but this is Broken with Matthew West, and it's going to take me out of here. Thank you for listening. Please join me again next Wednesday when we were talking about we would get that wall fixed. And I will be live on tomorrow night with In the Cut with Jay. We'll see what we're talking about then. Bye-bye now. Here's Matthew West with Broken.
I would never change for you. I know it's not what you wanted. A shot of whiskey to numb the pain. Can you feel me? In these moments like this where I don't seem to care, my mind is far from clear. You were there once to lift me up.
Of the song. Thought it was a different Broken. I'm not sure what that one was. I've never heard of that before. But have a blessed day. This is Lena Jones. Bye bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.